Welcome to the Arise Shine podcast with Pastor Glenn Schleck. Today's episode, as well as every weekly episode, will feature teachings from the Bible from Pastor Glenn. If you have any questions about any of the messages or you'd like to contact us, please do so at rdugall@emmanuelloveland.org. God bless you as you continue to grow in Jesus.
So today we're heading up the mountaintop. We're heading up to the top of the mountain with Jesus, Peter, James, and John to help us kind of acclimate to this mountaintop. I want us to start by having a little fun with this. I want you to think about some of the mountaintop experiences you've had in your life. Okay, what are some of those mountaintop experiences that you have had in your life? I want you to think about that. As always, if you're comfortable talking with some of the people around you, feel free to do that. But then where I want you to go is, what is it that makes these particular experiences mountaintop? What is it that makes those mountaintop experiences? Okay? I'm going to give you a little bit to do this. Have some conversation, do some thinking. All right, what I don't want to hear about are your mountaintop experiences, as wonderful as I'm sure those all are, but if you can give to me in a very short, very succinct kind of way, what is it that makes particular experiences mountaintop? It's fun. Okay, having that feel, that sense of God's presence being there. Not something you can necessarily put your finger on, but just a sense that you have. Okay? And by the way, we don't have to just go spiritual experiences. Okay? We have lots of mountaintop experiences that are not necessarily faith-based or spiritual. Yeah. Okay, so just from that higher vantage point of being able to see so much, to be able to see so far, and it kind of puts us in our place. In a way, I mean, it gives us perspective to say, wow, this world is so vast. There's so much more beyond me. And kind of a, wow. Good, Don?
Thank you.
Yeah, that whole, and let me relay this just briefly, a mountaintop experience, Don, and some others, I assume, hike Long's Peak, you're up there, storm came, it hit, your hair was standing on end, I don't know if you're glowing like Jesus was, or you're close, got out of there. But that, where Don was going here, is that sense again of smallness, how small we are and how vast the world is. Good. Thank you for that. Others? Rachel?
Being unable to ignore God's instruction.
Being unable to ignore God's instruction. A mountaintop experience of saying, I just got to do this. I got to go. Okay? Lindy? Yeah, so that sense of what can be a mountaintop experience is maybe the intensity of whatever that may be. So intensity can be a part of a mountaintop experience. Kathy? The journey itself up the mountain and not giving up. Very much a part of the mountaintop experience. Gracie? Yeah, just accomplishing something, right? That it's like, yes. And that's an awesome thing. So good. Scott. Yeah, how awe-inspiring the view can be and how small and insignificant all the little things down there actually are. Perspective can be good. Arlene? So giving God, kind of giving you his perspective of looking down over a city, over the city of Boulder, and saying, yeah, sin is sin. There's, yeah, that perspective of how God sees it looking down, not from our human perspective of better, worse, or worse, 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 but a God perspective. Good. Stephen? Huh. A point that you look back and realize things will never be the same again. Huh. I like that. Good. Well, thank you for that. And it mountaintop experiences, they're kind of cool, aren't they? And Transfiguration was one of those, whoa, wow, I can't imagine kind of experiences. And between Jesus' face suddenly turning bright like the sun, his clothes glowing, Moses and Elijah suddenly showing up, this bright cloud enveloping them, and the voice of God the Father booming, I would have to say that was probably or should be classified as the ultimate mountaintop experience. Or, in the language of our series, epiphanization at its best. Now, epiphanization, as we've been talking about these 7 weeks, it's just about shining light into dark places. And very specifically, shining Jesus' light into the darkness, shining the love that He has poured into our hearts, our minds, our lives, shining that and sharing that with the other people that God brings into our lives, for the darkness to flee, for light to come, hope to be given. That's what this epiphanization is really all about. Now, Peter, as we're told, was one of only three of all of Jesus' disciples who received this special invitation from Jesus to go up that particular mountain on that particular day. Jesus knew exactly what was coming. He knew what was going to happen. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, they had no clue. They were just following Jesus, following Him, taking up on His invitation to come with Him. And then they get blown away by what they got to glimpse. Now, the fact that Peter was an eyewitness to all of this, this mysterious, miraculous, jaw-dropping, blinding light kind of event, is actually pretty significant. And it's significant in that we hear in the second reading from Peter's own letter, his second letter, where he says explicitly several times, "We were eyewitnesses of His majesty," in verse 18, that we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. So this isn't some secondhand account. This isn't gossip that's just being spread around. And it's not, as Peter himself said, these are no cleverly devised stories. No. Peter was there, sharing with everybody exactly what he had seen and what he had heard, which aligned exactly with what the three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all recorded in their gospel accounts of this mysterious transfiguration event. It's all exactly, hand in hand, how this played out and how all of this happened. Now, why is this so important? It's so important because this whole idea that Peter was an eyewitness, because what Peter shares with us here brings to light some very important things that relate to our faith and to our following Jesus. The transfiguration event was all about Jesus. Jesus. It wasn't about the disciples. It wasn't about Moses and Elijah. Wasn't about any of that. It was about Jesus. And this glimpse that Jesus gave to them as He was shining, if you will, in all of His glory. But the glimpse of the glory that Peter, James, and John received, as well as what we receive through them and through faith, it was, as Miss Martha shared with the kids and with us, affirmation to the certainty of who Jesus really is. Peter tells us that it was God the Father who spoke from that bright cloud. It wasn't just some nebulous voice out of nowhere. It was God the Father, he said. And this voice of the Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." And then, when Peter went on to say, here in verse 19, "We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable." He was affirming the equally significant testimony, not only of what he, James, and John had heard, because it was just those three guys were up there, they heard the voice of the Father speak as He did. What He is saying here, when He says, "We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. He is telling us that the voice of God, as he spoke through the prophets, is a testimony of equal weight to what he, James, and John had heard for themselves. The voice of God, as God spoke through the prophets to give us the whole Bible, is an equal testimony that you and I can take to heart. We didn't have to be on that mountain with Peter, James, and John to hear with our ears the voice of God. We've got it here. We have that same voice of God speaking to us. And then, what did Peter go on to say about this completely reliable prophetic message? He says, you'll do well to pay attention to it. You'll do well to pay attention to it. Which is essentially what he heard from the Father upon Transfiguration Mountain when the Father said, what? Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Pay attention to what he has to say. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. And then when Peter went on to say, also in verse 19, we said that already, the prophetic message. So where this takes us then is someplace that many of you here today may think to yourself, well, of course, I mean, this is so basic. Why are you bothering taking time to say this? But I have to say it. Where this takes us back to is right back to the Bible, back to what we believe and we know to be God's own word to us, a word of truth that is reliable, it's trustworthy, and that we would do well to pay attention to listen to. And part of the reason I hate saying this is that we, I think, in many ways, just take this for granted, which is not a bad thing. But I have to tell you, I have to say that there are far too many churches and far too many pastors who do not even use the Bible in worship, who don't read the Bible. There may be a passage referred to in a prayer, maybe a passage or two referred to in a sermon, but the Bible doesn't get used by far too many. And even worse, that there are far too many churches and pastors who don't believe this thing to be true, who do not believe that this is the Word of God. God's Word, God speaking to you and to me. But we do. We do believe it. And we have to. Even though it seems so basic, don't take this for granted, folks. We look to God's Word. We lean to God's Word. We take it for what it is, in part because of what we hear from Peter here in this section of Scripture, the first part of this letter, where Peter, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, told us this. He said, verses 20 and 21, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We believe that. Now, can we explain or understand fully how God does that? How God carried these people along by the Holy Spirit? How God spoke His Word into their hearts, into their minds, that they spoke it, they wrote it? No, it's another mystery of our faith. And yet it's a mystery that serves as a very clear and solid foundation for us to stand on and for us to live by. This gives us direction. God gives us direction in the lives that we lead. He gives us truth, real truth. And this has been affirmed over the course of thousands of years in the lives that people have lived. And for some of us here today, lives that we have seen changed through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in this word, that we have seen lives turned right side up again. We have witnessed light shining into some of the deepest darkness and bringing hope and bringing life. There's power in this word. And that leads us to another basic that I have been speaking about over the last several weeks. That is this Bible. This word of God, this word of truth, where does it point us? Tell me, where does it point us? To Jesus. From beginning to end, it points us to Jesus and to only Jesus. So we listen to him. We pay attention to his word. And with that in mind, let's head back to the mountaintop for one more thing. This mountaintop experience for Peter, James, and John had to have been just completely unbelievable, even surreal with what they saw and what they heard. They appeared to be doing pretty well to start things out, doing okay when Jesus' face shone like the sun, when his clothes started glowing. They seemed to do okay when Moses and Elijah showed up. And by the way, I have no idea how they knew that was Moses and Elijah. They had their, hello, my name is, name tag on. They look and say, oh, Moses. No, I don't know. They just did. They knew that was Moses and Elijah. They did pretty good when the bright cloud came and enveloped them. But the voice of God the Father, that's what seemed to put them over the edge. We're told this from Matthew. When the disciples heard this, the Father's voice, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. Now, while you and I may not be terrified because we heard the voice of God coming from a cloud, that I'm thinking not many of us have experienced, and in all likelihood, many of us will not experience something like that. There are plenty of things in our lives and in this world that can and do terrify us. So I want to take one more, and this very, very brief, 30 seconds at the most. But I want you to think about it, and again, feel free to talk with each other about the things in this life that do terrify us, that do scare us, that cause us to be anxious, that can cause us to be unsettled. So if you would, 30 seconds, think about this, talk as you're comfortable. All right, I'm thinking this doesn't take too much. Stuff is right here in front of us. So again, give me, if you would, in a word or a phrase, very briefly, just hit me. What are some of the things that can or do scare us, unsettle us, unnerve us? Donna. Okay, the satanic churches, a reality that, and some of that frightening, scary, dark stuff that is happening right in front of us. What else scares us, terrifies us? Greg?
Family and friends walking in darkness.
Family and friends walking in darkness. Frightening. What else?
Uncertainty.
Yes. What else? War, conflict, close to home, across the globe, impact, the touch it has. What else? Siobhan? Say again.
Lack of morals.
Yep, lack of morality. That falling out, the bottom falling out on that in our country. Gracie? Say again. Terrorism. Yeah, evil people doing evil things. Jocelyn? Lack of empathy. Yeah, the meanness, harshness, lack of caring, empathy. Could touch on things like health concerns, talk about money, finances, economy, frightening, government, directions we're going. I mean, there is so much that can unsettle us, that can scare us. And all these things, they're real. They are real. And they are all a part of the sin and the brokenness in us and all around us, the brokenness of this world. Some of it's inside of us. Our sinful human nature, that's real. I mean, we are complete, we're whole, we're perfect in Christ Jesus. And yet on this side of eternity, we continue this tug of war with our sinful human nature that in some cases just can't seem to say no to some temptations that take us down dark paths and down wrong ways. And there's plenty of it all around us. The evidence of the sin and the brokenness of all of creation that groans right now, as St. Paul said in Romans 8, that groans waiting for Jesus to come back. Please hear this. With all of this very real darkness that is in us and all around us, Jesus knows the things we're dealing with. He knows. He sees it. He sees what we see. He feels what we feel. He knows our struggles. He knows our challenges. He knows those things that we are up against. And just like up on the mountaintop, he saw how scared his friends were. And his message to them, his response to them, it's the same as to us. You remember what he did? He went over and he touched them. Yeah. He touched them and he said, "Get up. Don't be afraid." Now, he wasn't scolding them for their fear, for being scared. He knew. But he was saying, as he touched them, "You don't have to be afraid." And that message is a message that all of us need to hear. We need to take home. That Jesus, that we feel his touch on us, he's that close. He is right here. Hear him say, "Get up. You don't have to be afraid. Whatever it is that's right there in front of you, you don't have to be afraid. I'm here. I'm with you. I love you. Listen to me. Trust trust me. From this mountaintop, Jesus would be heading straight to the cross. And that's where we're going to go here in the next season, starting on Wednesday. That season of Lent, headed straight to the cross. And we know that on that cross, Jesus would deal with all of our sin, with all of our brokenness, with all the darkness. He would deal with it in a way that would bring some finality. All those things that cause us to be afraid, that's why he went to the cross. Through his death, through his resurrection to life again, he now comes back and says, keep listening. Remember my promises. I know it all, and I love you. I am here for you. So listen to him. Trust him. And let his word chase the darkness as he shines his light in us. The what now for today? Going to grab your Bring It Home insert. It's also up on the screen. Listen to him. With the season of Lent starting on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, determined to be more diligent and intentional when it comes to listening to Jesus, striving to be in worship every week, taking advantage of the midweek Lent worship services, reading the Bible, having devotion time every day, and being in prayer daily. Ask the Lord for his help and for him to open your ears and your heart to listen and hear him clearly with all matters before you in your life. Amen. And that peace of God, a peace that at times goes beyond our understanding, let it guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus, today and always. Amen.